in Switzerland, yeah. people separate yeah, their don't trash pay and for they it. Pay for they it.
We so are paid like, for recycling, so.
Everything, man.
Yeah, so, we are paid for recycling our trash. So
this is like from the environmental efficiency. Perspective.
German efficiency.
And
I love
this
it.
Is right about now, we 9:30, and we'll take a short break while we'll read our first message. And when we come back, we'll be talking about, you know, the universities themselves, and we'll talk about, you know, we've talked about the environment, mm-hmm. we talked about Bavaria, talked about Switzerland, talked about Zurich, you know, and I have a message from someone from Geneva, and he talked about, he shared this message earlier on about Geneva and Fribourg, and talked about the language barrier also.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take a short break, we'll play this musical break, and then we come back, we talk about these things. That from Victor on it. Right about now, we have a special guest. Our girls are still in the studio, and it's Friday, a special event tonight, talking about African students and the challenges they face in Switzerland, in Europe, all over the world, because African students leave their homes, they leave their communities, they leave their parents, and then they go to a different world where they have to embrace these new challenges, where they have to embrace these new changes. And it's not easy because it's cold. There's a song which I'll be playing. It's so cold outside, my brother. I don't want no drama. Yeah. So it's so cold. You know, I remember my first time I was living in Cyprus, you know, away from my parents. I mean, for me, I started living outside without my parents when I was much younger. From my teenage age, you know, I went to boarding school. So from boarding school, I got used to staying, you know, days and weeks and months without my parents where I can just call. You know, so for me it was normal, but when I got to Europe it was next level, you know, because it's cold and I saw life like from a different perspective.
indeed.
I want to ask Mr. Matsiba, you schooled at the University of Zurich, so, and also now you are at the University of Fribourg and planning on going to Munich to further your doctorate. So what do you think, what was your experience like, what would you say about universities in Switzerland per se? You know, Mr. Wayne talked about this good reception he had in Munich. You know, would you say do you think you are like a case of affirmative action per se, or you do you think you deserve to be where you were, or
man,
you were just like the diversity hire,
man
diversity quota.
Yeah, of course. You know,
my admission into the University of Zurich was very painful. The emails that I have, you know, when I made the application, those guys, I'm serious, man.
Yeah.
I sent my application and they told me that, and I'm not making this up, I can show you the emails. They said, we don't believe these certificates are yours. We believe these certificates are fake.
Wow.
Can you prove to us that these certificates are yours?
Wow.
So that was a rude awakening to the attitude that I realized that these university authorities here have. You know, they, first of all, it's like they have a feeling of you being at the wrong place when you are saying, these are the things that I actually achieved when I was in Geneva in 2017. I was actually the best student in human rights. They think there's something wrong
with that.
And when you are trying to like claim your space and say, I belong here, they're always trying to go like, something is wrong. Yeah. How can you be? You know, so it was really depressing for me that I had to constantly be proving that I also belonged to be there. You know, which wasn't something that was happening to many other people. And it's really, really disappointing, because after a while, I really almost gave up. I really almost said, you know what?
Don't want it anymore.
I don't want to be doing this anymore. But then I realized, if I do that, then they win.
They win.
You know, of then course. They're the ones who have. So I mean, it just takes a lot of resilience. But again, it's not something that we should be experiencing in this time, you know. And throughout my studies, I constantly felt somewhat of a differential treatment, and I guess I'll get into this when we start talking about some of the challenges that we face. But from day one, you know, it would have been better if I felt I was a charity case, because they would just have said, just come, you we don't even want your certificates, we just need your black
just
black
come here.
I want to ask a question now. There is this rationale behind, you know, you talked about them saying your certificate is fake.
Yep.
And there is this reasoning people talk about. There's this thing they talk about, you know, the reason would be because there have been other Zimbabweans or Nigerians that have been here with fake certificates. Now, this has transcended to you. And so for them, it is like, okay, yeah, if others have done it before, then this one is no different.
You well,
understand? No, I'll land. There is this point of view that people say, you know, people say, okay, when a white person does something, he's mentally disturbed, or he has to go. When a black person does something, he's a criminal, you know, and then you categorize the whole, you know, social group or the whole race. Did you feel like that per se, or you just, I mean, did you feel that you were like, you know, suffering for the sins of somebody?
Yes, before? Of course, that is indeed what I felt. You know, what you are saying is, this is something that is consistently seen in how, you know, an American shooter who shoots 40 people is somebody with a psychological problem.
Yeah,
but, you know, a Muslim person with a gun who doesn't even kill many people is a terrorist. So I really felt like I was being made to suffer for the sins of the group. But then the question that I asked them, which eventually made them relent and admit me, was, if you are saying my papers are fake, can you not have official communication with my university? Can you not verify from my university? Let's say you are the Swiss government and somebody is coming with a visa that you think is fake. Do you dismiss this person, or do you phone the person from which this person is alleging the visa was taken? You phone that office and you ask, did you issue this visa? And then the problem is solved. So if you're looking at the prejudice that someone who is in a position of like innocent suffering like me, what is better for you to really take steps to try and verify or to chase that person away? So I think that is a very convenient stance that they take, because they want to believe that. They don't want to believe that you're actually someone who could be, because if you were Swiss, they would definitely not be in the process of immediately dismissing you, you know. So I think it's a very convenient stance that they take, and it's unfortunate that they continually do this and they continually take these stances, and many of our brothers give up, many of our brothers end up throwing in the towel and saying, maybe
very talented people, you know, we have so many brilliant, intelligent young men and women from the continent Africa who are coming here because they want to gain a better and a wider education, you know, to learn more about these fields that they want to delve into. But then they're not given that opportunity because the assumption is that their papers are fake and there's no service which is being provided for them, or rather that's being utilized by the universities mm-hmm. to verify their mm-hmm. qualifications.
It's like, we're afraid your papers are fake, it's too bad. But I mean, come on, you are a university that alleges to teach law. Is that consistent with principles of natural justice?
Absolutely
to
not. To
dismiss someone and say your papers are fake, we can't do anything.
Because,
what have you done about it?
Because the principles of natural justice provide that if an administrative authority is going to take an adverse decision against you, they first of all need to ensure that that decision is impartial. In other words, they have
the right to be heard.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. First of all, they've had recourse to a third party mm-hmm. that is not biased, mm-hmm. that is not part of that administrative mm-hmm. authority, mm-hmm. which is going to give some kind of a determination.
And, you know, this is, I'm sorry, God's time to just add this, mm-hmm. but this is the reality that students of color have to have in Europe. You mm-hmm. constantly have to be challenging the authorities
yeah.
because you get a situation
and
where
it's tiring. Yeah.
Some of your classmates will tell you that, well, your presentation was amazing,
yeah.
man. That was so amazing. Mm. And then you get the lowest grade, and then people who really didn't have the best of presentations mm. who were asking information from mm. you get way better grades. And mm. if you just sit and say, well, I guess this is what it is,
yeah.
you really be affected by these
but
bad grades.
What happens, you know? when you do you, you know, do you have to keep fighting everybody? Do you have to keep questioning everybody?
This is the problem.
Now what happens when they because I had someone one time tell me he's like you said, this is a similar situation, and they said, oh, we cannot up your grade. What do you do when these grades cannot be changed? Do you keep fighting, or do you just make a statement and go?
Well, I mean, let me jump in there real quick. I mean, mm-hmm. because this whole fighting grades thing was also something that I found to be really interesting about Europe. Because as I said, I used to teach law in mm-hmm. Zimbabwe, and as far as I know, students don't really have much of a leeway to challenge
mm-hmm.
their grades, you know? So, I mean, this is something that we need to also give to the European system to say, well, European students, okay, not European students, but students in European institutions mm. have the right to challenge
okay.
grades.
I think let's clarify that. Students in European institutions of European descent.
Mm.
Because
no,
if you're from European
everyone.
Descent,
okay, this is interesting.
The
now.
Confidence
so
to challenge the grades
yeah.
is
everyone.
Really, really high. Like, my friend, if you are African, first of all, the thing that you think is, I don't want to antagonize the individuals who could become my professors.
Yeah.
And this was a consistent feeling that we felt when we felt that my grades could have been good, and you
yeah,
end up going
better.
Like, you know what, let me keep quiet.
Yeah.
And you have people who you are like, why is this guy challenging the grade? And then they assume, they're like, yeah, I'm going to challenge this because it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And then that grade gets changed.
Yeah.
Because
but
European people have a really
yeah.
imperative perception of
yes.
not accepting injustice.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Brian, I agree with you that, of course, you're taking it already to the next level. But what I just wanted to appreciate, GT, is the fact that, you know, I mean, in as much as we have some constructive criticism for the tertiary institutions of Europe, one thing that we also need to appreciate
mm-hmm.
and acknowledge
mm-hmm.
as good is the fact that there is room for students
yeah. Yeah.
to go
yeah.
to a
yeah.
lecturer, to a professor, and say, hey, I think that we need to revise my exam script together
mm-hmm.
so that I see where I got my
yeah.
answers wrong.
Mr.
And this does not exist. That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
And
I
give it.
I would give a follow-up question, and then Mr. Brian. No.
Before you give the question,
okay.
I agree with you that we should really commend them for having these structures in place.
Yes.
Because in African universities, a grade is a grade.
Yeah.
A grade is a grade is a grade is a grade.
You know,
okay.
if a lecturer sleeps with a female student and that female student
yeah.
gets a distinction, even if the whole class knows that this girl does not
yes.
deserve a distinction, that's it.
Okay, so we have agreed on one thing.
Yeah.
It's like you talked about this accessibility, sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You said we have agreed, okay, in Africa, it's not there, in Europe, it's there. But the problem is assessing this tool, per se. Do you think, Mr. Matiba is saying something very interesting. He said, we know it's there. If a Swiss or a German or European goes to use this tool, you know, I always, it's like, we always say in Nigeria, they would say, freedom of, there is freedom of speech.
freedom of after speech.
You know,
exactly.
Come on, GT. Exactly.
You know, I had this due to Nigerian elections, and I had I was criticizing the government because.
Oh,
did you vote in those, by the way? Yeah, no. The election was a sham.
You don't have provisions for voting when you're abroad.
Oh no! If you do that, then they would bring their manufacture figures, even the ones they did. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was criticizing the government, writing articles, writing things on Facebook. My mother was calling me, and she said, "You stuff." I even criticized my governor, my state governor. I called him names. I called him names. I put a picture of him with horns.
Oh my God. Your mother was like, please, we're still living in Nigeria.
Yeah, exactly. And then the honorable member, the representative in the house, we live on the same street. I criticized him. So she was like, I went to Nigeria, and she was like, you know what's funny? Because they call me GT, but actually on my passport, you would not see GT. So maybe, mm-hmm. I was telling somebody, I said, oh, maybe when I entered, the thing did not ring that there is a GT coming. You know?
No, but they know your face.
Of course they know, but actually, so it's the freedom after speech. So mm-hmm. the question is this, tool is available, but is it accessible?
Can I jump in on that? Because I think, Mr. Wayne, in as much as he's also teaching at a European university, mm-hmm. hasn't had the opportunity of studying in a European university.
Yeah. I mean, technically, and I am studying because I'm writing my PhD.
But you have not been graded.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also, he's studying for a PhD, you know, different. And he's also teaching.
Of course. It's different. It is.
I will just give one.
It's
really
not a taught course. Like, you're not being taught anything.
Exactly. It's more research and so.
Of course.
Like, I will give an example which I feel should really just drive the point home. So in one of the modules, which I'll not mention, because if I do mention it, then I don't want the university to be suing me.
It becomes political.
But, you know, in one of the modules, I had a situation where someone was native Spanish, and this person was not a law student. They were like an international relations student.
Mm.
So from the beginning, they were like asking me, principles that we as law students know are general.
Basic principles.
You know, like, can you tell me about margin
basic
of appreciation?
Of law.
You know, and I had to explain what margin of appreciation was. These are things that you learn in your undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
We were grouped in a group, the three of us, and, you know, I was basically providing me and the other girl who was also a law student most of the substantive cracks of our arguments. And then when it came to presenting, we said, you know what, we realize that your English is not so good, and we also realize that you're not so much well grounded in law. Just do the introduction for us, just come and present what we're going to talk about, and then leave that to us. And the surprising thing is, regardless of the fact that me and the other colleague, the girl, were the ones who were dealing with the substantive arguments, the Spanish guy, who was not a law student for undergrad, who was also not an English major, got a way better grade. He got a 5.5.
I
got a 4, you know.
Wow.
I got the
lowest
passing grade. And so you can say, yeah, maybe I screwed up in the exam. You know, maybe there was something that I didn't know, you know, but then already that should be pointing to how, you know, it's either this guy really aced the exam, or it means the questions that were asked were different, you know, they were not substantively the same, or there was something going on which you can't put your finger on.
I will follow up, and I will give a confirmation to what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had a similar experience last year with a course. When it comes to presentation, that's my forte. This is like where, for me, I grade, like when it comes to written exams, sometimes I say, for me, it is literally impossible for me to fail an oral exam. This is how I see myself. I have never failed an oral exam before. Because I believe, anyhow you want to put it, I can say something.
Of course.
You know, with written exam, they can read it and read and read and read and see a fault. You know, they can pick faults out of it. Oh, you didn't put this case law.
Mm-hmm.
But as lawyers, you know, you can talk your way out of
it. Of course.
Law.
Of course.
So,
this is our gift.
Yeah, that's the gift. So there was this course one day, you know, I had this presentation and I did my thing. I gave this wonderful presentation, and wow, the professor said, oh wow, this is so rich. But then when the grades were out, that was like the day I knew that, this
that's the thing,
this is not real. Like, this ain't real. That was the day I knew this ain't real.
Yeah,
because you know what's funny, I would give you, we're talking about African students, like I've schooled in two different Swiss universities. You know, I schooled in Freiburg and I'm in Zurich also. And I could tell you, in Freiburg, one thing for sure was, this is my experience, I'm not generalizing. Mm-hmm. In Freiburg, I've written papers. Mm-hmm. You know, when you don't write in Freiburg, you know. When you write well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Freiburg, I got a lot of six.
Of course, man.
Five.
Six is like the best grade, by the way.
I've,
you in Germany
I've seen,
have a different
Yeah, we have a different grading system, yeah, yeah. But I've seen his transcript and it also looks really good.
You saw the difference already with
yeah.
the University of
certainly,
Freiburg.
Certainly, certainly. I mean,
and it comes
it's
back
amazing.
To what you were talking about, God's time,
yeah.
of how, you know, if you are like in these universities
mm.
and then you are trying to... like understand why is this treatment different,
mm.
why is it that this person is getting this,
mm.
you should also ask the bigger question of
mm.
how many lecturers of color do you see at the University of
mm.
Zurich, how many
wow.
have you ever seen?
I've never
none
seen any.
And do you know, if you really go down the
mm.
rabbit hole, they say that for you to lecture at the University of Zurich, you must get a grade of 5 and above for your master's, right?
Mm.
So you can imagine that if the university is really filled, and the University of Freiburg, the lecturing individuals are non-Swiss, most of them.
Yeah.
They are immigrants, they're
yeah.
people who come from other places.
Yeah.
So the mindset is not
so
really this.
Disparity. So
it's
not a Swiss,
you know,
thing, it's a university thing per se. That's what you would say.
That's what I would say. But then yeah. the best universities happen to be University of Zurich, ETH, you know.
So
and these
do
universities.
Do you think it's a standard issue? Would you say... where you would get a 6 in Freiburg, Zurich would give you a 4.5. Do you think so?
I'm not saying they would necessarily give you a 4.5, but I'm saying the things you have to put in place for you not
mm-hmm.
to get a 4.5
mm.
are much more in the University of Zurich, and they are much harder than they are in Freiburg, because
mm.
there's a lot of other things at play. You know, you have
mm.
individuals who are really just trying to not see something which is good, which, you know,
mm.
if you don't even try hard in Freiburg,
yeah.
would be commended and appreciated.
Okay.
So I think it goes with the type of people who are there, and these are the same people who, when you are making applications, are telling you your papers are fake.
Okay.
So you can imagine if the administration is already like that.
Okay.
At the University of Freiburg, I was admitted before I could even
wow.
say I want it. You
yeah.
know, they
wow.
wanted me and they gave me a scholarship
and
immediately.
You felt
and
loved.
When I got there, you know, I felt accepted, and they
yeah.
were like, you know,
okay.
so
it's a university thing. So this is one thing we can agree on, listeners, you know. So I have a question, and this person is saying something. He said, okay, but you haven't talked about the living condition, you know, per se. You know, so this is what this person
of course,
is saying. So
of course, of course. I mean, this is the problem then that applies to whether you're studying at the University of Zurich or at
mm-hmm.
the University of Freiburg,
mm-hmm.
the financial difficulties,
mm.
you know, because if I'm studying at the University of Zurich and then they tell me that for you to come and teach at the University of Zurich, you also have to have done an internship for 6 months. For you to get an internship, most internships
mm.
are not paid.
Wow.
Right, most internships are done on a pro bono, on a free basis.
Wow.
And as an African student who is
mm.
struggling to get a train ticket to go to school,
mm.
the only people who can be eligible for those internships are Swiss people
mm.
who have families that can support them.
Yeah.
So there is already immediately
yeah.
a financial
mm-hmm.
difficulty
mm-hmm.
that presents itself in your academic career.
Wow.
You have
yeah.
to have money, you have to invest in even giving yourself a job that
wow.
allows you not to get paid.
Wow.
As opposed
mm.
to other people who can just
mm.
do this because they're like, I can stay in Geneva without getting a salary
mm.
because I have a mother who can give
mm.
me 4,000
yeah.
without.
Yeah.
So there are some problems
yeah.
that really cut across whether you're at Freiburg or at Zurich,
mm.
and then there are some which depend on like institutional affiliation
mm.
and stuff.
And mm-hmm. Mr. Wayne, is it the same for you?
Well, thanks for throwing the question this way as well. I think Germany is a completely different terrain because,
mm-hmm.
first of all, in Germany, education is free.
Wow.
Yes.
Dang.
Amazing. Yes.
Living condition is all good.
Well, Munich is the most expensive city to live in,
mm-hmm.
but other parts of Germany are reasonably affordable. And so I think this is one of the things that we are most grateful about for the Federal Republic of Germany, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that there's free education,
mm-hmm.
the fact that the social system works so well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, there's no place that doesn't have its own challenges, you know. I mean, I don't even want to get into the tax subject
mm-hmm.
because that's another
but if you
scandal.
But if you get paid, then you get taxed, okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, but I mean, I think the German tax rates are a little bit high, higher than a lot of other places in Europe. I mean, we're talking like 42% tax.
Okay.
Nearly half what you make.
But I mean, if you're taxing people 40% and then they don't have to pay for school, you know, I would say there's somewhat of a...
Yeah, but that's because you're thinking from a perspective or a mentality of a student. Imagine that you were not studying and you were just like working 100% mm-hmm. and then 42% of your salary is being taken by the state.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, look, they do also mm-hmm. ensure that there are a lot of other things that are provided by the state in order to make sure that your stay in the Federal Republic is great. And so it's a give and take. But I will say that Germany, I think, is a great destination for a lot of students precisely for the fact that you don't have to pay for your education, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you have to worry about other expenses. But, I mean, I'll throw it back to you. I mean, in your opinion, Brian,
I mean, Switzerland itself is not really, I mean, when it comes to tuition fees, it's not exorbitantly expensive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if, you know, $900, which we were paying for the University of Zurich, is still $900. If I don't have to pay anything, that really would, you know, help if, for example, I want to get an internship where I can use $900 for something else. I guess there are benefits and disadvantages.
Of course.
You know, picture of my academic experience in Switzerland. Of course, it has been amazing. The education is, I believe, Swiss universities, in my view, are way better than universities because the tuition is way, way cheaper. I mean, you talk at the University of Harvard, you have to be paying 100,000.
Oh my God.
In Switzerland, you're paying just like literally 100th of that.
Mm.
But I mean, you know,
We have a friend mm-hmm. who is going to be in the University of Chicago, Kent, Conrad Clinton Melusignati.
Shout out to Conrad.
Hey, Conrad. Shout out to you.
Man.
One of the brightest and most brilliant minds I've ever seen. I'll tell you a quick story if I have the time, mm-hmm. God's time. Real quick. Mm-hmm. Brian and Conrad in 2017, were in Geneva. This is back when they were law students at the Midland State University in Zimbabwe. These guys qualified for the World Human Rights Moot Court organized by Center of Human Rights. And they were so amazing. They beat Harvard, they beat Yale, they beat Oxford. They were the best team in the whole wide world. And so I'm talking people who have a lot of acumen, you know, like academic acumen. They have that intelligence. But then we see the system trying to
mm-hmm.
overshadow them mm-hmm. and take away all the good things that they have done so far.
I think the example you wanted to mention was the example of Conrad being granted a scholarship at the University of Chicago for 40,000 when he still has to pay 30 more thousand to supplement.
That's a lot of debt.
So this is something that we don't have in Switzerland.
Okay.
You know?
So right about now, we don't have time. It's 2 minutes to the hour of 10 o'clock and thank God it's Friday. And remember, coronavirus is still there. So one last word for those who want to study or those who are studying as students in Switzerland, in Europe, I say one last word before we wrap up the show on this special edition. So,
from me, I would really say if you really want to study in Swiss universities, particularly ETH, Zurich, Geneva, Bern, those top five universities, you must really overexert yourself. You must not leave anything to chance. You must not say, I'm going to be graded in the same way, because if you have that perception, then you will find yourself so disappointed and getting, you know, just know that it means business, you know, these people don't expect you to be there, you know, and if you are prepared with this reality, the less surprised you will be.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. And Mr. Wayne, one last word.
Well,
seconds.
I mean, let me start by thanking you so much, GT. It's been such a pleasure to be here to speak to the viewers.
To come to the studio today.
Thanks to all the viewers who are listening, and I'd say, come to Munich. Habibi. Habibi.
Habibi, so you heard Mr. Wayne.
Habibi, come to Munich and study in Germany, because
get free education.
First of all, TUM is rated as one of the best universities in continental Europe, excluding Switzerland and the UK.
Number 50 in the world, right? 45.
Number 50 in the whole world. Number 1 in EU, excluding